I don't know if it's too like already like lame to do this, but I think we should say our best Cole Anthony Ooh. Or Cole references.
Okay.
I'm just gonna go ahead and take the easy one with like J. Cole.
Sure. Yeah, that's obviously that's a good one.
That's the number one. That's the easy one, especially since Carolina's digital team photoshopped, or it was the ACC network. Somebody's digital team photoshopped him using J. Cole's like album cover from one of his albums.
Oh, okay.
Like sitting on top of like the house Forest Hills Drive, and then they put in Skipper Bowles Drive, like the address to the Dean Smith Center.
Yeah, I did say like people. Please can feel free to at me with their J. Cole puns at Ellie Brownlow on Twitter, because like I enjoy almost all of them.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorites was like, if you like pina coladas, like
hey,
that. Yeah, I was like,
that's
yeah,
a good one.
There we go. That was definitely one of my favorites, I think. But yeah, there's so much potential there, and I'm going to be so bad with these all year.
I think that's all I'm going to do is really focus on topping my last one. Like as the season goes on.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just keep trying to have like the best like Cole kind of reference or pun for this kid.
Yes, it made me want to look up like, oh, I did "Baby, It's Cole Outside" for one of
That's
my
a
like
good one.
When I was tweeting out one of our the panic rooms I did with Joe Obvious, like, and it's
I
Christmas
feel like
song
his would all be
so
like corny dad ones. I mean, granted, puns and references are all corny anyways. Shout out Joe.
He what did he headline ours? It was like, hot coal fuels Tar Heels or something like that, which is pretty good. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, look, I'm here for all of them. I love them. They're gonna be. I don't know that I'll get tired of them. I really don't. I think I'll be excited to read them all season.
Yeah.
This is the Topics and Takes podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now here's your host for Topics and Takes, Lauren Brownlow.
Welcome back to Topics and Takes. I'm Jasmine Fritz, and that's Lauren Brownlow with another episode. While we're talking about Cole Anthony, I think this would be a good starter for ACC. So the season opened up with ACC opponents, with the exception of Duke. They played in the Champions Classic. What did you think about that?
I'm not a fan, personally.
Why?
I think I always hesitate when I find myself on the side of like a lot of the coaches that get all curmudgeonly about it, but I am sort of on their side on this because like my main issue with it is this, right? I like it when you know, teams like Duke open with a Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game that does not have a lot of consequences to it, in the sense that if you win it, great. It's a feather in your cap. It's something that you can use to potentially get a one seed down the road or whatever it is. If you lose it, it's not like you're out of anything. It's not like it's a disqualifier. There are rare exceptions to this, like, for instance, the way Kentucky looked last year in that game against Duke. I felt like that took them months to sort of bounce back from that and recover and, like, be thought of as a good team. But... that, I think, is fine, and I think that stuff's good for the game. I have more of an issue, I guess, with games being played essentially 2 months from when real conference play begins, because there's no... And I think I would even have less of an issue with it if there were, like, a couple non-conference games and then they did this, because, like, there's just no... There's no, like, I don't think that you are getting nearly an accurate enough picture of who these teams are going to be in January. Now, obviously, every team gets injured and everything else. Like, that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about State not having Markell Johnson.
Or Carolina not having Brandon Robinson.
Sure, because that stuff happens during conference play, too, right? So that's not even what I'm saying. I'm just saying the way that these teams, especially teams with a lot of turnover, a lot of new pieces, the way that they're going to look come November, the way teams sort of grow, and sometimes teams get worse, but sometimes they get better too, and more often than not, they get better. And I just don't think, I think having a game count towards the conference race this early, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't really like it.
Okay, so before the season kicked off with NC State, Georgia Tech, I was definitely on that whole wavelength. I did not like it, partly because I'm like a little bit hard headed, where it's like,
oh, same.
No, I don't want to change. This is how it has always been.
Well, and like, we're still in football mode, right? So like, selfishly, at least for me, I'm sure for you too, it's like, okay, I got enough going on.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, that's fair too. But yeah, that's kind of how I looked at it. But not only that, it was also, it's not fair to these teams. Kind of similar to what you were saying, they're gonna end up paying. Some teams are gonna pay for this game early in the season, yep, before chemistry is fully developed, before they work out those kinks of, you know, their game plan. They're going to pay for that, like, come March. Mm-hmm. They're going to refer back to that opening game where NC State pulled in NC State and they lost to Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of stuff that I don't think is necessarily fair. NC State played Georgia Tech and things changed. And now I don't mind it, but selfishly.
Because it was fun.
Yes.
Because it was more fun to, for sure. And from that angle, I get it. And look, mm-hmm, I don't know. Maybe I'll get an email at some point that has the ratings from these games. Like, I knew
it was to help out the ACC network.
Right.
Since they launched. But that's also why I some ways rejected it, because, like, it's great to have an ACC network, you know, the way the other Power Five conferences have their networks, and we want to shine light on ACC.
I've enjoyed watching it a lot. I have.
Yeah. I just felt like now we're, dare I say, even exploiting them more, giving, like, you know, they have all access and these players are not getting anything, but they're feeding us what we want as fans. Mm-hmm. And so from that perspective, I was like, no, like, now you're starting that. You got to put them in a weird situation just because you want to get, you know, the ACC network up and going. And like, that's not cool. So I've been conflicted on this, but I didn't like it at first. And now after, as a fan, so just selfishly, I've been like, whoa, season opener down overtime, like, just, you know, out of the fun of it.
And not to pick on State, but to be fair, like, it's not as if State would have, like, I don't know that we can say that State would have had a different outcome to that game if it were played in January under those same set of circumstances, because
well, that's when the last time
we've literally seen them play Georgia Tech and have the game end this way,
the same way,
home. Yeah. So I can't really say that that's true. It's not even so much about an individual game as much as it is for me, like what I said, like, big picture wise, I don't like that they're having games necessarily either the weekend of the ACC football championship, because that's the other time they're having more ACC games.
And so well, that's what I was going to kind of bring up when you said, hey, maybe they should start off, you know, a couple of games before they want to introduce an early ACC game. And that's the next time that we'll really see it, right? Carolina will play at Virginia. Duke will play at Virginia Tech. And that's that first weekend in December.
Yeah. And I think selfishly, I hate that too, because those are huge games. Yeah. And like, I feel like as a league, you should be focusing your attention around football in that weekend when it's your championship game. And I feel like the stereotype of this league is what? They only care about basketball.
Right. It's a basketball conference.
And that's literally what I feel like you're doing when you do that. I was on Adam and Joe the other day talking about this, and I was corrected because I was complaining about the fact that, like, what if Virginia makes the title game in football?
Oh, and where
what are they supposed to do? What are their, not their media.
Their fan base, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What, you really think their fans are going to want to skip a Carolina-Virginia game? In basketball?
To go to Charlotte, is it?
Yeah. You're asking them to make it impossible to watch them get blown out by Clemson? You're asking them to make a really tough choice. Or maybe not that tough for
maybe
some
it's
people.
Not that hard.
But it's like, I just feel like, you're detracting. And I was issued a correction on that. They were like, basically, apparently, like, if Virginia makes it, that game's going to be on Sunday.
Still, it's the same. It's the 7th or the 8th.
I said this. I know. I was like, a lot of people have to travel. That's the ACC championship game's a late game. You're still probably not getting back to, like, Charlottesville, having flown in there myself once. It's a regional airport. It's a tiny, tiny airport. Like, it's not like there's a bunch of bustling flights. There is a direct flight from Charlotte to Charlottesville, though, by the way. Yeah. But still, like,
even then, like, that's a flight. You know, maybe the people who are driving, like, a lot
the
of
the drive. I don't remember how long the drive is. It's long
it's
enough
like
that
4 hours from here, right?
Yeah, it's like 4 hours from here. I have
or
to Google this because I don't want to, like,
right, be wrong again.
Inaccurate. It's 4.5 hours, okay, right? So, like, say that game's at, like, on a Sunday at, like, 1. You're not making it back if you spend the night in Charlotte.
Like, you're forcing people. Like, I get it. I get what you're saying. Like, that's unfair.
Well, and I just feel like that's not for me. And this is, again, selfishly, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I want is something to fill that gap for me in college, like, where college football is, the conference championships are over, You know, we've ACC Big Ten Challenge is over. I know that's like exam time slash holiday time, so I'm sure that's why they don't do it then, and I get it. But that's where I want. If you told me there was going to be ACC basketball around that time, okay.
You'd be down with it.
Yes, 100%. Because it also then you're already inching towards conference play anyway. Like it's that New Year's Eve, that first week in January, I believe, when they start conference play. For real.
Like the 12th or something, like somewhere that second or third week?
Yeah, so like if you ramped it up then and had a few, if you had like conference games in the beginning of December and sprinkled them in there that way, that's a time where there's not much sports to be watched on TV. Like there's no, college football isn't even into bowl season really until like closer to the end of December. That's when you get into the meat of the bowl games, right?
Right.
So like for me, that's when I would get excited about it. But again, people don't ask me for these decisions, so it's whatever.
So Carolina played.
Yeah.
What did you think about, and I know we started out with Cole, so we don't have to make any more puns or references to it. So what'd you see out of that team that you feel like, it's worth noting? Because it didn't really look like much to me. It looked just like a whole lot of Cole Anthony.
Right. Well, I think, that's probably going to be a recurring theme for them, especially as they got some guys kind of figuring it out right now. That's the way I sort of view it. Would have liked to have seen them get Garrison Brooks a little bit more involved, but he was super involved on the defensive end. Baycott looked pretty good, still a little bit like a freshman. And again, like their offense was just a little bit of a mess for me overall, but when they went into Cole takeover mode, it was all good.
It would have been bad if he didn't take over the game, though.
They
would have won that game.
No, they would not have. I think like they're going to take their lumps early because they got some guys still figuring it out. Christian Keeling he looked a little lost, and I think he's going to have to adjust to playing at this level. It's early. I feel like they'll look considerably different in a month, maybe even in 2 months, than they do right now. Yeah. But they lost a lot from last year. They're going to have to replace. And at the end of the day, like they did what they were supposed to do, even if it was ugly for a half. And it was ugly for a half.
So what about the Duke game? They're the only team in the ACC that didn't start out with an ACC opponent.
Yeah. And I think it's similar with them. I mean, they have a roster that's pretty new as well. I mean, they have some guys with experience. They probably have as much returning experience as they've had in a while.
Right.
Except for Trey Jones, not that all those guys are going to play like huge, huge roles, but that's not really the point. I mean, just to have even one guy coming back as sort of a centerpiece for them is a big deal. It looked like they sort of want to build their identity on being a defensive team, which is interesting.
Well, that's their strong suit right now. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. You kind of have to lean into that if you want to make some offense happen.
For sure. But that just hasn't been something that I think we've seen with a lot of these one and done era teams from Duke. So that's an interesting thing to watch, I feel like, for me. But again, it's so early. And like that's just the one thing about playing basketball this early. Like the games that we were seeing, both ACC and then that one and some others, it was like, oh gosh, this makes me long for like them opening up with crap teams because
then they'll work out.
Right.
Like,
you work out some of those kinks. Like I don't think Kansas turns it over 28 times if they play this game like, in a month.
Right. But you could argue that we'll see. And that kind of goes back to like how you start the season, because a lot of times that non-conference schedule, depending on how strong it is, can be like maybe like a little exposing for you.
Yeah, it can. But again, like it's not a disqualifier for Kansas at all for a one seed to lose that game. In fact, if anything, the fact that they played it, I think, will help them because it's strength of schedule thing. So that's why I do like the marquee non-conference matchups to open it. I really do.
Yeah.
Because it's like you get to see two similar teams playing against each other. There's not a like ACC, tournament, whatever, regular season thing on the line there. It's just, hey, let's see how these two teams stack up in week one. And it's something fun and exciting to get you back into college basketball season. So that I don't mind and I like. conference play, not so much, but.
Yeah. So Willie Taggart was staying in ACC, obviously, because it's ACC land.
Sure.
But Willie Taggart was fired after 21 games. Is that fair? Very broad. How fair is it that he was given 21 games?
So,
and they decided, that he was not the right fit.
I'm talking to some of my friends around that program. I was surprised. I wouldn't have been surprised if they did it at the end of the year, right? But I was surprised they did it when they did it, even though obviously they looked real bad against Miami. And that's not a great Miami team. And so I think those two things certainly played into it. It's not a great Miami team. First year coach from Miami. It's a Miami team that has not looked great all year. They dominated the game, and really they should have won by more. They had a number. I think they had a couple possessions in Florida State territory that came up empty-handed, and they could have won by more, like, easily. And
so why should they have waited to the end of the season, like, out of dignity or something?
Well, I thought they might have, just because I think that there have been some positive signs from Florida State this year, that there's progress being made at
times. Like, to just see if you really need to make that decision with firing him.
Okay, they looked bad at the beginning of the year. They look like they've started to figure it out, and then one game that goes real badly. What I have been told is that there has been a lot of work behind the scenes being done by the administration and others, just trying to actually get a sense of what's going on inside the program, right? What's the culture inside there? What's being done to prepare these guys week to week? Because there have been games where, and we've seen it, they just fundamental type things, they don't look ready to play the game.
They look sloppy, or they look, yeah.
And I think they wanted to get a sense of that, because I think we all understand what Willie inherited from Jimbo, and I think if people don't understand that, they should look into it, because Jimbo handed him a hot mess.
Yeah.
A hot mess. They have not recruited. Jimbo did not recruit well at offensive line, or it didn't work out well. Some combination of both. The quarterback situation was not working out well. They haven't signed a quarterback in 2 years, which is not good in a recruiting class. Their APR was a big issue. So if there were players that Willie wanted to get rid of because they're a bad influence or whatever, he really couldn't afford to do it, because otherwise their AP, they were one of the last place teams in APR. And if you know anything about APR, it's a really easy thing to game. So you almost have to, especially a school with the resources of a Florida State. One you see a lot of times, HBCUs getting dinged for things like this, partially because they don't have the resources of having the academic staff to help usher guys through.
Exactly, yeah.
And Florida State does. So there's no excuse for them to be at the bottom of APR, and yet that's exactly where they had found themselves. So yeah, it's to the point where if you dismiss a guy for some character reason, that still counts against your APR. Willie was in a real tough position there too. And I think he didn't help himself in a number of ways, but in a vacuum, when you look at 21 games, you go, oh no, that's ridiculous. But I think their issue was, okay, if we feel like we've made a mistake with this hire at this point and things are not getting better from game one, which I think a lot of people were drawing parallels from his first game against Virginia Tech, where they looked almost as bad as they looked against Miami. It's like, we're still at this point, right? We're playing this poorly against a mediocre team at home, right?
Yeah.
What indication do we have that things are going to get any better? Where is the progress on the field in terms of game one to now, to 21, right? So from that perspective, I do get it. And they had to say, look, we can't make this mistake worse by waiting. We need to just cut it now and figure it out. Now, we'll see who they end up hiring.
Yeah.
Because that's a question.
So do you think they put a little bit too much into how he handled other programs that he worked with, maybe after year three in a program where they were on a winning side of things, and they kind of looked at
hired him in the first place?
Or
the other way around?
No. Willie Taggart's previous programs where he has turned around in, let's say, the second and third year, and then they're looking at their program. They're like, well, we brought you in to do something like this, and then what happens? Nothing. Goodbye.
Yeah, maybe some of that. I know that probably influenced the hire too, because he had, and they knew they were going to have some rebuilding issues. Of course, Willie got in front of the media and was like, oh, we're still good. And it's like, yeah, I think maybe there is some of that. It's still pretty early. I think the other big factor too was that his recruiting class was okay, but it wasn't great. You look at a kid like Sam Howell too, who
flipped.
Yes, he flipped. And they couldn't keep him. And that, obviously that's not going to fix everything, right? But they don't have their quarterback of the future on their roster right now.
It doesn't help that Sam is having the season he is having at Carolina.
Yes.
and so I think that maybe that's a little bit of we're super going to punish you for this.
There's big picture things involved with all of the Florida schools, really, because at one time, you could have all three Florida schools being elite programs, right?
Yeah.
But with the rise of schools like UCF, at times USF, and other schools like that, FIU is trying to get some recruits, FAU, there's all these other programs around South Florida that can sign some of these kids that used to just go to those schools. And right. There's just all these factors at play that I'm not saying Florida State can't ever be great again. I think that they can. But they certainly have an easier road there than, say, like a Miami, which has a number of other obstacles at play. But, like, they don't have as much money as other schools either. Mm-hmm. Florida State doesn't, because it's a relatively new co-ed school. Like, it started out as a women's school.
Oh.
Yeah. It was. I think it's only been co-ed since, I wish I could remember the year, but it's not that long.
Hmm. It's interesting.
Right. And so, like, it's also an artsier school. So a lot of their, like, the majors that come out of there don't have a lot of money. So, yeah. Like, you don't have your wealthier boosters and stuff like that. I don't know where they who's cobbled this money together for the buyout and has promised them money for a new coach. But, yeah, I mean, there's a number of things at play here. But I guess at the end of the day, too, if the boosters don't like you, like, you're not staying.
You're not going to be successful either. So how much of that do you think has race played into?
I mean, it's certainly possible. There's no question about that. And there were... there were times this season where it did seem like some of the criticism of him from fans, just like judging from like people, Florida State fans that I know, saying that there was a racial tinge to it. I think in this case it was just way more about like, okay, we've made a mistake and we can't make it any worse. We have to do something now. I think my biggest surprise though right now is like, okay, you make this move, cool, but like what do you have next?
Well, see, that's my thing, is that...
what's plan B?
It seems to be nothing in the works, nothing... there is no game plan, and so you're just so angry, and you're blaming it on, right. You know, someone. Mm-hmm. This is... the head coach, they're going to be your fall guy.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not saying he deserves some blame.
Yeah, but, sure.
And I think most Florida State people understand that while he might deserve some blame, he inherited a bad situation. He just wasn't quite... in their estimation, I guess, he had not been able to make that bad situation better, and there were no clear signs of, like, it completely turning that corner.
But do you think 21 games is enough time for it to, like, to give?
Yeah, see, that's the question, and I don't know. That just seems... that's why I was surprised they did it now. Like, if they had done this at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and said, like, okay, you know what?
Didn't work out.
Yeah. Then I would have been like, eh, still not a lot of time, but,
out.
Like, okay, you know, you did give it time, and, like... but, like, that's why I was surprised they did it when they did it. Because it's not like they haven't shown some positive signs here and there. And that offensive line is, like, my Florida State friends tell me it's, like, a four-year rebuild. Legit. Like, it's gone from god-awful to, like, bad.
Can it get any worse?
Like, well, it's on an upward trajectory. But, like, again, and he didn't go to JUCOs to try to shore that up either. Or that was another criticism of, mm-hmm. like, he didn't really do enough to try to shore that up to make it a little more functional. For a guy like Cam Akers, who's such a great running back. And, like, it really stinks about how his career at Florida State will have just been wasted.
Right. So, like, this obviously was, like, one of the, like, a dream job. A job that he left Oregon for.
And he left a great situation there.
And so, like, it seems odd for a person to not, like, for someone to look at the situation or the program and be like, he's not doing enough. Like, you know, why would he, you know, butcher this opportunity? He's from Florida.
Oh, well,
you know what I mean?
It's nothing on purpose.
Well,
I'm sure.
Exactly.
It's just more like not for lack of trying, I don't think, but he wasn't able to land the guys that he wanted to land, or he was in, I don't know. I don't
know.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm saying. I'm like, he's not going out of his way.
Well, what I got the sense of is that there was a lot of investigation being done about, like, okay, what has he been doing? Like, how is this program being run? Whether it's, like, what they're concentrating on in recruiting, or, like, the types of coaches he's hiring, mm-hmm. Because Kendall Briles was hired with a lot of booster pressure. You know, like, they were like, no, you can't run this offense anymore. Like, you need somebody in here who's going to run the offense. And to his credit, he was like, cool. Like, yeah,
like, I get
fine.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. And he brought in Jim Leavitt and stuff like that to help out with the defense. And I think that's worked. But a lot of people felt like that wasn't the right hire, defensive coordinator. He's a guy that's been really loyal to his friends. And so, like, he's had friends and longtime staffers with him that he wants to be loyal to, which is a great quality in a person. But sometimes in a coach, it's not as good. And Florida State, you know, they did give him money. They were like, we will give you money to hire Kendall. Like, you can have the money to hire who you need. And but he wanted to show a lot of loyalty to his friends, and which is great. Like, it's a great thing.
I mean, would you say, like, that's even not, I mean, I don't know, like, personal relationship, obviously, but like mm-hmm. even him being offered that position. And then I was like looking online or reading online, and like that was the first time in Florida State's history where they had a black head coach for the basketball team, football team, and AD.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I mean, there was a fan, for instance, like fans got mad at the end of Jimbo's tenure because it wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he got into it with a fan one time. I don't know if you remember that.
Remind me.
A fan yelled at him and he was like, "You come down here and say it to my face," or something like that. Jimbo. Don't get me started on Jimbo. But then like Willie had a fan, like he said something like, "You guys stink," or something like that. Willie had a fan yell and like repeatedly at him, to the point where like I was reading other Florida State fans were like, "Dude," like trying to like quiet this guy down, like F you, like not F. Mm-hmm. Like that's, yeah. So that's where if you want to get into like some of the racial issues, like maybe there's an extra level of like disdain and dismissiveness and mm-hmm. like a shorter what's the word I want to use? I don't want to say shorter leash, but you know what I mean, like there's a short like okay
like a shorter fuse,
shorter tolerance, whatever. Yeah, it sure, is yeah. Less patience that consciously or not comes into play in the minds of Booster. I think that's entirely possible.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
It is. But yeah, I mean, I also do think though that there was enough going on that I kind of get it, but again, like Carolina's boosters, allegedly, sources, whatever, orchestrated like the buyout of Larry Fedora, but and I think that was sort of an inevitability.
I mean, he was there for like 7 years, though, right?
But the reason but I'm saying this is the larger point I'm getting at is that like they did that with their plan, and that they had been orchestrating behind the scenes of hiring Mack Brown, right?
Exactly,
and like
yeah.
basically they were like, "We'll pay this buyout, but we're hiring Mack."
Yeah,
you know, and that was something where like. That was, you know,
a direct,
I don't want to say a directive, but like, this is, they're pretty much like, this is what this is.
Yeah. No.
And so like, I know that they want to hire Bob Stoops. I know they're still talking to Bob Stoops and trying to, I think, cajole him into doing this. It's a similar plan though, right? In the sense that like, it's not a guy that's going to stay there all his whole time. It's like mm-hmm. a stabilizing force situation, right? It's like we're in bad shape right now. Let's get a dude in here who can stabilize it for a bit, and then we'll find the long-term fit.
Yeah.
Which I do think makes some sense, but you better get him then, because there ain't a whole lot else out there.
Did you hear, and this is me being funny, but it actually did come up, the rumors about Deion Sanders?
Oh my God. This is becoming a thing, by the way, at both Florida schools, I've noticed.
Where?
Like Miami and Florida State were like I think Ed Reed at one point had been competing for like the Miami job. And I'm finding this really fascinating that like, and look, I do think there's value to, we're seeing this in college basketball more and more, where like, you know, Penny Hardaway
right.
at Memphis.
Jerry Stackhouse
uh-huh,
at
Patrick
Vanderbilt.
Ewing at Georgetown, although he's a little older than those two, but
yeah.
still. like, we're seeing this more and
Why
more.
Why does it make more sense in basketball and we laugh?
I think like, yeah, I don't.
When we talk about
well,
Deion
Sanders. Well, part of it with Deion, though, is like, I think he's like barely gotten into high school coaching at this
right.
point.
Right.
Like,
yeah. He ain't
like
making no jump
dudes,
to
like,
Florida State head coach.
Stack had been at a G League team.
He was, yeah. He was with
like,
Toronto's 9-5
yeah,
team.
Yeah.
Where it does make a little more sense.
Well, and I'll say this about basketball. Recruiting, not that recruiting isn't a big part of it in football, but you usually have assistants doing a lot of, I think, a little bit more of that in football, and you need good assistants that can recruit. In football, and that's a little bit more important because you're delegating more.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, in basketball, I feel like you are more of the recruiter, right?
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there as a thing. And I think it's a little bit maybe easier to manage in basketball because you have, you know, fewer staff, fewer players.
Yeah, yeah. It is a smaller kind of, like, engine.
And, you know, I think Mac's done a good job of this year at Carolina of just sort of being a CEO and making those types of decisions.
Oh, he came in and he was like, full on, we're changing. My players need to have the best of this. We're going into all the high schools, recruiting our in-state. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And I think if you don't have experience with that, I think that might be a little harder to like go from high school to that. Like,
yeah.
You know, that'd be my guess. I mean, there's just so many other things you have to worry about on the collegiate level. I have no idea about Deion's X's and O's. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure Deion has great X and O knowledge, but like, I just feel like college football head coaching is a little more it's a little more maybe involved than like just being a good X and O guy
and being someone to get the fans like riled up.
Yeah.
To, you know what I mean?
That helps. It's always a good thing, you know, but like
there's just like more to it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you, I mean, you're right, because I did have that thought right away of like all these former players. And I'm like, well, I guess basketball is starting to have that become a thing. But, you know, yeah, I did have to laugh. And I just saw all these people be like, please, like that don't like Florida State, be like, yes, please hire Deion.
Do it. Well, LB, this has been a great little conversation, a little ACC season and what's going on in Florida State.
Yeah, no, I mean it's a big opening. It's a big job opening. The Bob Stoops idea is a good one. I don't think his brother would be as good of an idea at all. But if they can get the good Stoops, maybe.
All right. Well, that is all for today. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Topics and Takes podcast with host Lauren Brownlow. Don't forget there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Topics and Takes podcast.